Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on a Tuesday, January 16th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. And as usual, the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. Just to share a few helpful tips for people who join through phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under, click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be very helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make some comments, and we can have one speaker at a time. In that turn, people raise their hands. So I would thank you for using the tools if you're able to do so in advance. Everyone should be on mute right now, and I would request everyone to please stay on mute unless you're speaking, because it helps us in eliminate any external noise. And as you know, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. I would request for you to please state your name before your comments because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is. When somebody may listen to the audio, it also helps them in knowing who the speakers were at the time. We would also request for people who speak to please describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female Asian Indian, I wear glasses, and I have long, dark hair. Chair Samford, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then take the roll call of the committee members.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. And before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen. And once the agenda is visible, if somebody could confirm for me, that would be great.
I can see
See
it.
the agenda. I can see
Okay.
it.
Thank you. So, after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the AAC members. At 4:05, the committee will review and approve the meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will take reports, which are the commendations report, customer service, and if there is any outreach. At 4:15, we will go through the Michael Wilson Award as well as the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, Mr. Blake will discuss Metro Access service area in Loudoun County in Virginia. At 4:30, Allison Anderson and or Mr. Blake will discuss Metro Access inclement weather policy. At 4:45, the committee will discuss Metro's FY fiscal year 2025 budget talking points. At 5:30, we will take public comments, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. And let's go to the committee members' attendance. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles, Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard, Steve Caffin.
Unmute. Present. Hi.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum.
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Here.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Ms. Rush is connected on the meeting with us. Paul Semaphore.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simona. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes today's roster. Chair Semaphore, we can talk about the public comments timings when we get there. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, so at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, everybody, we're going to review approval of the media agenda. Are there any additions, subtractions, any changes that need to be made on this fully packed agenda? Please let me know now. Here in the cricket, can I get a motion for someone to move the agenda as is?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. Unless there are any nays here, I think we're going to move the agenda as is. Ayes? Okay. Next, we're going with the prior meeting minutes from the month of December 2023 subcommittee minutes. Any suggestions, changes, additions to the minutes? Hearing the crickets, can I get a motion to approve December 2023 subcommittee, Metro Access subcommittee minutes as is?
So moved.
A second?
I second.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions, motion carries to move the December 2023 Metro Access Subcommittee minutes as is. Next, we will have Ms. Anderson with combinations, customer service, and outreach.
Thank you, Chair Semaphore. My name is Allison Anderson. I am a African-American female, middle-aged, tall with a gray striped sweater on today. It is my pleasure to bring forth Dolan Chittums with MTM, who will provide our public comment resolution report from our last session. Dolan?
Hello, Dolan Chittums. Black, long locks. Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums from MTM. During the AAC meeting held on December 6, 2023, there was one public comment related to Metro Access that could not be addressed during the meeting and required further investigation.
Audio now unmuted.
To ensure the concern was handled, the customer was contacted to share information regarding the inquiry. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on December 18, 2023, there were two public comments that could not be addressed during the meeting. Once customers submitted inquiries via email that have been personally addressed by Mr. Blake. The report from the second customer regarding their phone interactions with OCC personnel was investigated and addressed. The customer was further educated on the policy, contacting and further educated on the policy. As a result of these efforts, all outstanding public comments have been addressed. Now moving to the accommodations, there were a total of 397 accommodations for December 2023. First Transit accounted for 81, Transdev 76, MVOCC 102, Challenger 56, Next Maryland and VA 66, MTM 2, Eligibility 1, and Abilities Ride 13. This concludes my report.
Thank you, sir. All right, Ms. Anderson, we're next with our next line item.
All right. We do not have any outreach to speak of from our last session there. So I will just then move into our Michael Wilson and AAC Metro Access Safety Award. So at this time, I'd like to present Ms. Ashley Cole with Transdev to do the honors this afternoon. Ashley, are you on? I'm just looking here to see. There she
I see
is.
she
I
is.
see
Yeah, I
her.
see her.
You're on mute. I think she's trying to get off mute. Let's see. Let's give her one more minute. See if she can come off mute. There she is. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Thank
Sorry
you.
About that. Unfortunately, Taisha Bennett, our operator, will not be able to attend with us today. I don't know if you guys can see me, but I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties. African-American female with long locks wearing a white blouse. Miss Taisha Bennett is not able to attend, but I did want to give a brief description of who she is and the passion that she has for the service that she provides every day. Miss Bennett was raised in the Maryland area, graduated from Flowers High School. She is happily married with three children. And she's been on the Metro Access service for 11 and a half years. One of the things that drives her passion for the service and the safe delivery that she does every day is her son was diagnosed with autism and having to work with him and making sure that he was cared for every day is the reason why she loves what she does and shows up every day and continues to do this job.
All right. And Miss Bennett is actually the recipient of not only the Michael Wilson Award, but also the AAC Safety Award this month. So we definitely want to extend a hearty congratulations to our double award recipient, Ms. Bennett. Maybe next month she can join us so we can give her flowers in person. But definitely she is someone that has been with the Metro Access family for quite some time and is definitely, as you can tell from the bio, very dedicated to her job and her role with serving Metro Access customers. So thank you, Ashley, for that.
Thank you so much.
All right. Mr. Semaford, I think that concludes our award presentation for this afternoon. Thank you.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Mr. Blake is up, unless you want to take the reins on your past. Oh, Loudoun County service area. Mr. Blake?
There we go. Can you hear me? Can you see me? There we go.
We can hear
okay.
you and we can see you.
Yes.
You. Great. So good afternoon, everybody. This first topic, I think, should be very brief. It's a question about the Metro Access service area in Loudoun County. Forgive me for not remembering the origin of this inquiry, but I can tell you at the moment, the service area in Loudoun County as it has been since the Silver Line Phase 2 opened in September of 2022, I believe that was, it has been and remains 3/4 of a mile around the Silver Line Metro stations only. So in Loudoun County, the Metro Access service area is 3/4 of a mile around each of the Metro Silver Line stations only. So that's the basic answer, but if there are other questions or if you want to remind me of the origin of this inquiry, we can delve into further discussion.
The origin came from Sandy Newsom, because I think she brought up that question. Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay, so Christian, it appears that I can book a Metro Access ride from my house to Ashby Ponds to see another low vision person go to their support group. But Metro Access riders in Ashby Ponds can't book rides starting from their home because they're outside of the area. So is this possibly because of the leniency that you have established with Metro Access rides over the years, that you've pushed it a little bit beyond the 3/4 mile limit, that I could get the ride, but they can't?
Not in Loudoun County. You're saying you can, you live within 3/4 of a mile of a, are you, do you live in Loudoun County, Mass?
No, I live in Reston, Virginia, and I'm like a block from a Fairfax County bus line.
So you live in the service area there.
Yes.
But you're traveling to Loudoun County, and where you're traveling to, you're saying a person being picked cannot be picked up from that address.
Right. Residents, I can go online and do a web booking to their address, but when they call into the call center, the call center tells them they're outside of the Metro Access service area. It just seemed really strange.
So we have to, we have to check on that aspect of it. Now, a person who lives in Loudoun County, they can ride Metro Access, but again, they have to be within 3/4 of a mile of the station. So if that destination you're going to is not within 3/4 of a mile, then we have to figure out why the scheduling is handling it that way. But also, when it comes to Loudoun County residents, they are encouraged by the county, not by Metro, to use the county service when they're outside the service area. But again, you're saying you're going to this address, and the address is the home of somebody or near their home?
I gave the street address. I put the street address into the web booking system.
So we'll check, but I'm asking, are you going to a residence or are you going to a location?
It's a senior living community with a bazillion people living there, but you know, each building has a street address. And gotcha. Then I go to their apartment.
So we will check to see why that is, to see which station is near there, to see why you're being transported there, but they say they cannot be picked up there. And then the only other thing I could think of, which again should not be the case or should not be an issue, but are you in particular, are you a grandfather customer?
I don't know the answer to that. I've been a Metro Access customer since about 2016 or 2017.
So that's a no. Yeah. So you're not. So we'll check the address to see what's going on. But I can tell you, yes, if a person does not live within 3/4 of a mile of one of the stations, they have to come within 3/4 of a mile to be picked up by Metro Access. Why would a Metro Access be traveling outside 3/4 of a mile location in Loudoun County? That's something we need to fix. But yeah, that wasn't anything done by me in particular when it comes to Loudoun County, because Loudoun wasn't part of the service area at the time we froze the service area.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I'll send you that address.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other questions from anybody else?
Chair Sevenfold, this is anyone. I do not see any other.
Alrighty. Then we'll move on to the next topic. Yeah. All right, then I'll move to Ms. Anderson on the next topic.
All right.
And good afternoon. Mr. Blake.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am going to be discussing today some information about Metro Access service during times of inclement weather. Mr. Semaford, Chair Semaford, always asks for this presentation about this time every year to make sure that customers are aware of how the service works during these severe weather events. So
Especially
Metrox
like
is
days on, especially on days like today, where snow has
days like
fell,
this, exactly.
and it will continue
Exactly.
into this week.
Metrox may make service modifications during severe weather or even hazardous conditions or other emergency types of situations. But since we're talking about severe weather, this includes icy roads, snow accumulation, high winds, and during parts of the year, tornadoes. During such conditions, door-to-door service may revert to curb-to-curb service. We ask customers to make sure that their path from the exterior door to their location for the pickup location is clear for safe door-to-door service as applicable. So we're always going to perform door-to-door service when it's safe to do so. It is important to note that Metro Access primarily operates in neighborhoods and secondary streets, unlike Metro Bus routes that primarily operate on main thoroughfares. Thus, during severe weather, the neighborhoods and secondary streets sometimes are not priority to clear and maintain for safe travel by local jurisdictions. So, again, if it's safe to do so, we will, of course, traverse into the neighborhoods where our customers are. However, if it is not, we will certainly contact customers and try to figure out next steps to conduct safe travel. If conditions warrant, service may be curtailed to return trips only or suspended altogether. Now, this is during severe weather that may be just very, very treacherous and challenging. We really don't have this happen, but in the past, as Mr. Semaphore can probably attest to, we have had to do it occasionally. Metro Access does not take curtailing service lightly. We recognize that it is a civil right for our customers, and we also do our utmost to make sure that we are providing fixed route equivalent service. So if the buses are running, Metro Access is running. Okay, we will do our very best to make sure that our customers receive complimentary service.
Can I offer something with that, Ms. Anderson, before
Yes,
we get
sir.
to the point? So
Yes, sir.
yes, if there is if you hear fixed route is operating, Metro Access is going to do its very best. But again, we are working on the side streets most often, and those are usually cleared after the main roads are. But also on the flip side, and show you the commitment of Metro Access once again to our customers. If you all were watching the news last night, you may have heard that Metro Bus was going to start today with a very limited schedule. I think we began with about 45 to 47 routes on Metro Bus. Metro Access, however, we decided we're going to do our very best to not only match them, but also to continue to provide the service. So you did not hear any service restrictions from Metro Access. That's not always going to be the case, but I just want you to again, once again, and be aware of the work we've been doing, the resources we have, thanks to a, I don't want to jump ahead of our agenda, a fully funded agenda, excuse me, a fully funded Metro. Metro Access provided to the greatest extent possible every single trip that was on the schedule this morning. And we didn't even send out the typical robocall that we would do asking customers to cancel your trips. So I just want you all to remember that in these cases like this, especially when the forecasters were right about snow, but perhaps not as much snow as they had forecast, excuse me, more snow than they had forecasted. The contractors from the call center, and but especially our operators, many of them are on the phone today on this meeting. So I want to commend them because we had a great service given the circumstance, and given our decision not to reduce service this morning, and we only had one incident with a customer on a vehicle, and that vehicle was quickly rescued, if you will, through the support of other members of our contractor teams. So I want to congratulate, I want to take this moment to thank them for their great service today. But just remind you, Mr. Chairman, committee members and the public, that when fixed route is running, we're going to be running because that's our obligation, but there are going to be times when we're running when they're not. And that's our commitment to do our very best for you and the customers. Like we did during the pandemic, we did it again this morning. And I'm very proud of the team and the performance that they did, and the numbers speak for themselves. Thank you, Allison. Please continue.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Blake, for that. Should there be any Metro Access service changes, those will be announced via a variety of communication mediums, such as Metro Alert messages, on local radio, television, the Metro Access phone system, and the Metro's website, WMATA.com. Lastly, we also try to accommodate as much as possible customer requests to change their travel window if we see an impending weather event forthcoming. There are times when Metro Access will reach out to customers via phone to request time window changes, as well should a severe weather event warrant that. Thus, it is important that customers maintain their customer profile. They can call the TAC, the Transit Accessibility Center, and make sure that their current phone number is listed as their best point of contact should we need to reach out to customers and speak with them about their travel needs. So that concludes my presentation, and I'll take any questions should there be any.
So I see Thomas.
Can I say one more thing, Mr. Chair?
Okay.
Just one more thing, we just want to say, I think what Ms. Anderson pointed out was very important, and that's how it kind of works. Last night I received calls from several customers, and I said, please don't keep calling me. You got to call the call center or use our new text message service. But we received several calls of customers who knew that they're, and we don't prioritize by trip purpose. So I'm just using this as an example, but we would do this for anybody to the extent we can reach your place of pickup, given the conditions on the ground. But there were several customers who knew that their dialysis facilities were going to be opening late, and they asked, could we change our times from our regular subscription pickup times and be picked up at a different time to accommodate our medical needs? And our answer was yes. And again, you don't get that on fixed route. You don't get that mostly anywhere else in the country, especially y'all beloved New York. I kind of keeps telling you that. So I just want you to appreciate the hard work and the dedication of the people, not me, but the people who were driving those vehicles this morning, who made it possible for everyone to get around. But again, I just always have to say, can't promise this in every single circumstance. While there was a little more snow than forecasted, it wasn't overwhelming, and the teams made a firm commitment. And another thing we did say today, late cancellations will be waived for today. So if there were any late cancellations, we're going to do our very best to ensure that they do not result in a warning letter or a suspension. If we miss one or two, please quickly appeal, and we'll take care of that. So no late cancellations will be counted today. And again, in the future, when you hear schools are closing early and that may interrupt your schedule, send us a text message. Tell us you would like to move your trip back a little bit, and we're going to do our very best to accommodate you. Thank you.
Yeah, because that was before we go to Thomas and then Steve and then I saw Denise, the first three hands, and of course the new is probably putting up the order for me. My big question was, you know, just to reiterate, they will try their very best, but if you find out that your workplace as early as possible will be shutting down on those inclement weather days and you need to leave much earlier, it behooves you to call in as soon as you hear about it. Is to see if they're able to but they will hopefully try to accommodate it as if they're able to do so. As I'm saying it correctly, right, Mr. Blake?
That is correct. You let us know. We're going to do our very best to accommodate your change in time, but it's best to let us know early, even if we, on a day like this where we say we'll waive the late cancellations and things like that, if you want to be picked up and picked up on time at this new time, the more time you give us to readjust the schedule, the better it is for everybody.
With that, first we're gonna go with in the order of Thomas, followed by Steve, and then I saw Denise, and then I see others, and Anu will help me with the order of the hands for 3 minutes. With the timer on.
Okay, yes, this is Thomas. My question is this, for Metro Access, when we make the schedule to go to areas that usually give y'all problems when it's snow on the ground or a certain amount of inches, what have you. When we go to make the schedule, will y'all let us know when we making the schedule that you might not be able to pick us up, or you might have to pick us up from that area early because that's an area that's known to give y'all problems? And also, your automatic system, animated system, whatever you want to call it, it don't work that well with me. It can't understand everything that I might need it to understand. So it don't work that well with me at all. But I plan on going somewhere this weekend. So it's going to be in Maryland. And I want to know whether or not I have to stay there. If I do go there, would I be able to come back home that day? Or what have you, because I have got stuck at different places where I went there and couldn't get back home because the service don't stop and Metro wasn't even running in that area after a certain time. Thank you.
Okay. So you offered a lot there, Thomas. So let me start at the beginning. Areas where we've had trouble after a snowstorm. Well, we don't get into that. We're not weather forecasters, and we do not know, even if I had trouble down, I'll just make up a name, Chris Street. Maybe one day y'all will name a street after me. So I'll just say Chris Blake Street. And last year we had trouble down that street because it was never plowed. We cannot say that the local government won't plow Chris Blake Street first this time. So we don't get into those type of forecasts, and we certainly don't want to then say, let's just, you know, call it as, we'll say we never get plowed in a certain community, but that certain community also happens to be the demographics of a largely particular group of people. That becomes a lot of trouble, so we don't get into that. What we do is ask you to please watch the news, understand the situation and the circumstances. And again, you didn't receive a robocall from the Metro Access team for this particular storm. So that should give you a sense that we believe that eventually we'll be able to serve you and get through it. What we do ask you to do, however, when you do get that robocall, please adhere to it. Please take it very, very serious. We're not going to tell you what to do, but if you get a robocall from us suggesting that it's going to be difficult to serve you, and we're not doing it by geography or neighborhood or clicks and all that, we're just talking Metro Access service area. If you receive that robocall, my recommendation is you take it very seriously and you make your decisions taking that into consideration. In terms of going somewhere, if you happen to go somewhere and while you're there, a storm comes and the service happens to shut down for a period of time, then that's shut down for everybody. But usually a storm doesn't happen just like that. Usually there's a forecast. And again, we would share with you that there's probably going to be some challenges, but it's unlikely that you travel somewhere and there's been no communication, but all of a sudden it's so bad, there's no transportation. things can happen, i.e. a tornado or things like that, but eventually we would likely get you home on that particular day. A snow event is more of a slow-moving, somewhat predictable event, so that's different. Now, if you're telling me you're going somewhere out in Prince George's County, as an example, and you went there, or yeah, you booked a trip, but you couldn't come back on Sunday because we don't serve that area, well, you kind of know that ahead of time. So that's, I'm not sure if that's what you were referring to. And then finally, I think you were referencing our TIM system, we call it, the digital assistant. As you know, and we'll say again, as some customers know, anytime the TIM answers your call, you are allowed to opt out of TIM and wait to speak to a reservationist if you're booking a trip, or a dispatcher. So we're not forcing you to use TIM. And so I wouldn't, if you're saying that in your booking of trips, you found TIM not to be as helpful, I understand that. I respect that. So please, next time it comes on to help you out, just say thank you, but no thanks, and I'll hold for a reservationist.
Thank you. Next person is Steve.
Next person is Steve, and then Ms. Rush.
Denise, I saw, and then Mr. Blake, you tell me who is next. Is there somebody talking? Mr. Blake, you answered my question. I live near four bus lines, and they were all not operating this morning. And I go outside, and there's a Metro Access van riding down the street.
We're there for the people as much as we can be. But that's not always going to be the case. There will be, when we first, well, Steve's still there? I just lost
him. I think we lost Steve.
Oh, unfortunately. Okay. Just when that always happens when they're saying nice things about Metro Access.
He's probably trying to rejoin. Okay. So Mr. Blake, we'll just go to the next person. Ms. Rush, you had raised your hand. Did you want to make any comments?
Yes, I just a question, because I'm old school. You used to say if you picked us up in the morning and inclement weather or anything and you needed to go home, they will see that you get home. You have to just call, and they, you know, the snow is coming, the storm is coming, and you all would say, well, I'm going to pick you up in an hour, and you'll be ready. That still stand?
Yes, ma'am. So that's a great example. See, that's why we pay you the big bucks, Ms. Roger. You always correct me. If that's the example that Mr. Mangrum was using, then no, you're correct. Let's say Mr. Mangrum or any customer is taken to a location, and we thought was a slow-moving, relatively light snowstorm, all of a sudden picked up some speed and energy and is poised to dump just a whole bunch of snow in the region that would make transportation impassable. What we would do then, yes, is cancel all outgoing trips. We would cancel all trips leaving from a person's home. We would only provide what we call inbound trips, bringing a person home. And if the situation is so dire, we may say your pickup was at 4:30, but in order for us to safely get you home and leave enough time for the operators to get to their homes, we need to come and pick you up in 45 minutes. Please be ready. Can you be ready? You know, we'll try to make it work as well as possible. But yes, we are in a position, if it gets so bad, that we can push your pickup time up so that we can get you from that external location we took you to and get you back home.
And you have done that, and I just was making sure because of the pandemic it hadn't changed, because you have picked up after the earthquakes, you have picked up during the snowstorms. If they have picked you up from your home, they get you back to your home. I'm finished.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. because I thought that was exactly what I was worried about having you. So thank you for clearing that up for me, or what have you. And because this Friday, there's about to be another storm. So that's what I was worried about. Thank you.
Just give me a call and we'll make sure we get there, even if I have to drive the van.
All right. Thank you.
Next, Chair.
That's number four.
Next is Doris Ray. Doris, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. And I thank Denise for her question, because that was important to know for us when people come to Independence Center of Northern Virginia and, you know, something comes up, inclement weather, for example, and they have to turn around and go back home. And so that's very important. But my further question is this. We, Independence Center of Northern Virginia, has booked a charter bus to go to Richmond to talk to our legislators, and it's going to be next week on the 24th. And, of course, we are very cognizant of the need to talk to them about WMATA's budget. So, but we're going down there for other things. And so my question is this. We're going to be going very early in the morning at 7:30, and so we've asked people to be there by 7:30, and then we're coming back in the evening, scheduled to get to ECNV hopefully by 6:30. We have a number of people who are Metro Access users who are coming with us. And they're from places as far away from us in Arlington as out in Centerville and down in the Belvoir area and such. So my question is, if for any reason, traffic or whatever, we leave a little bit late, and somebody has made their reservation to pick up by Metro Access at 6:30 or 7, and we see we're going to be a bit late, what is the procedure for the consumer to be able to contact Metro Access, whether by cellular phone or, I heard, text, but some people may not use text. Email, so, whatever. What is the procedure for getting a later, you know, pickup?
Here's what I would suggest, because if you're talking about 4, 5, 10 or more people going to the same location at in the morning, and then being picked up around the same time from the same destination, I would recommend one of those members text 301-547-7436 and just say, we're on the Doris Ray bus, or, you know, say something like that. I mean, just say that we're on the bus that's coming back from Richmond. Several Metro Access customers are there. We have the information available to us, and then we can make the adjustments to the vans and sedans that were scheduled to pick up customers from the bus if it's going to be a little late. I don't think we need 5, 10, 15 people calling with the same message. You just have one person send a text message, and again, just say we're on the Doris Ray bus, and our pickup address is XYZ. Our pickup time was going to be 6:30, but we're running late because of traffic and other reasons, and we will make the adjustments on our end.
Okay, so can you send me that information via email? I would really, really appreciate it.
Will do, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
And actually, Ms. Ray, I think Mr. Mangrum can speak to that as well. I think we had a situation with one of his contingents that we did that very thing.
Mr. Blake, can you repeat that number one more time, please?
Yes, ma'am. It's 301-547-7436.
And how much before? How much before?
How
early do we have to send that? You know, is it 2 hours or is it or you know, we might get caught in traffic.
That would be helpful, but send it. Yeah, 2 hours would be great if you know you're going to be late that early. But send it as soon as you can. Let's just say it that way. Let's send it as soon as you can so that we can make the adjustments in the system so that all the vehicles will be there when you actually do arrive. Yeah.
Okay, I would appreciate your sending that to me so I can, you know, send the information on to the Metro Access users.
And they write because they helped me doors because with Project Action, we was coming back from a function that we went to out of town, and they had all the rides ready for everybody that went to the function. So they will work with you on that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Doris and Thomas. Next would be Rico and then Vanessa. So Rico, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I reached out to my representative, Eleanor Holmes. It's a house bill. She is fighting for tramitation. House bill 5859. I contact her office. I get a letter from her directly. What I sent to a noon on Friday, to she asked her colleagues on both sides to bring more funding for tramitation. I got the letter from her on this last Friday, and I sent the email to a noon for the record. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rico. Vanessa, you're next. Go ahead.
Alert, audio now on mute.
Yes, hi, this is Vanessa. Thank you, Anu. My
61,
question
alert.
Is all Blake is the automated system. I tried using it one day, but I wanted to do Uber. So I did my first trip, and I didn't hear an opportunity, excuse me, to do an Uber. Is there a comment section in there where I can request that, or can one be added? Thank you.
Okay. So a couple of things now. Let me just always remind customers, when you call Metro Access, you're not calling Uber. You're calling Metro Access, and we may, through our lottery each day, you may be assigned an Uber. Now, to answer your question, there is the pickup and drop-off comment opportunity, like with all trips, where you can say my preference is Uber, but Ms. Williams Hall, Ms. Anderson, please confirm that when someone's using Tim, the thinking machine, as we like to call it, when people are using Tim, do they not get an opportunity to insert their pickup comments and drop off comments like web booking and reservationist?
They do. Get an opportunity to provide a pickup or drop-off comments. However, Tim is going to capture them. It's not going to read it back. Okay, they won't hear, but they'll hear Tim say, "I got it," and so that is your, thing to know that Tim did capture whatever comments you wanted to place on your trip booking.
So Ms. Coles can say at the end of the reservation or at the point that it asks for a comment, "I strongly prefer you put my trip on Uber," or however she would like to say it.
But however she would like to say it, yes.
Tim will capture that. That will be on the record. But I've got to always remind Ms. Coles and others, Uber is not a guarantee. Uber is not always going to be here. When you book your trip with Metro Access, you're booking a Metro Access trip. But we hear your request, and yes, you're on the list, and just keep that in mind as you're booking trips, that you're not booking a trip on Uber, so don't look for, quote-unquote, an Uber option per se.
Right. I got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Coles.
Speech of the man.
Ms. Up. Go ahead. Ms. Rush, you're on mute.
This is Ms. Rush. You're contradicting what you say that you... Mr. Blake, you say that we cannot request, that's a lottery for Uber. And then to even say you want to request a Uber is confusing to the customers. You book a Metro Access trip and you may get the lottery and get a Uber, but to say I strongly prefer a Uber is confusing to customers.
Okay, so let me, and I like the way you said it better than the way I did, so I'll take that. But what we're doing is, the way I was trying to answer the question is, Ms. Coles stated, from what I understood, to say she did not, when she was using Tim, she did not.
I understand. She did. She said she.
Well, there is no such option when you call them direct.
But there's no option
we have had for you,
to request there is no Uber.
To book, right. There's no option to book an Uber.
All right. But so there's no point in even putting that in your request of your Metro Access trip to me. Right, but
I got you. But let me explain why there is. Because what happens is, let's say you really, when I say we, Metrox has been doing this long before Chris Blake came along. I mean, before Chris Blake came along, there were times customers would say, please put my trip on a taxi. We think that's a good thing. We want to hear from the customers what they like, what they want, because let's say today we run the lottery, but you don't win. But tomorrow morning, we may decide we're nice, we're friendly, we may run another lottery and include the customers who say they would like an Uber. We want to hear from customers what you want, and then we try our very best to accommodate. But where the confusion comes in, I don't think is the granting a customer the opportunity to express themselves. I think where the confusion comes in with a lot of customers is when they take our benevolence and translate them into civil rights. Because we say we want to try to give you an Uber, doesn't mean you have a civil right to get an Uber. And that's where some confusion comes. But no, on this one, we have to respectfully disagree, Ms. Rush. We would like customers to continue to say what they would like, because it helps our team overall understand how best to serve all passengers in an accommodating way to the greatest extent possible.
All right, we need to stick on topic because we do need to finish that and get to one big piece, which is talking about talking points for this budget. So, Philippa, is this related to this topic of inclement weather or something for public comment?
Yes.
All right, I will go with you first.
Philippa's wearing
a
Super Bowl
shade. We do have to
move on. Yeah, I was just going to make a quick comment. Okay, I was going to make a quick comment, and you know I'm always quick, so I don't need that warning. But I was going to say there is a spot when you do Tim that asks for pickup instructions or something, and that's where you tell them you want you're requesting Uber or sedan or taxi. And I had to learn that backward because I had to call back, and then they said, they told me that's where you put it in. So I just wanted to say that's where you do it. And we're requesting. We know it's not a civil right, although I would like for it to be. So that's it. Thank you.
That's a good one. I like that.
Go Chiefs, Miss Philippa.
Yeah, go Chiefs.
Thank Thank you for the comment. Now, any other members of the public, please, we're going to move that to public comment period because we do need to stick to talk about for the.
Paul, your voice is breaking. So our next topic is about a committee discussion about the fiscal year 2025 budget. Chair Samuelford, are you still connected?
Yeah, I was going to say Pat can help me facilitate this discussion since he did it at the AAC level and to continue with it.
Sure.
Can you hear me, Pat?
Mr. Sheehan, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. Sure. So I think pretty much I think everyone here knows what's going on as far as what we're seeing reduction in force. Mr. Blake, if you could take maybe 2 minutes to go over the highlights of what we're expecting as far as possible cuts in the, you know, I think we have April, we should know something by March or April timeframe. And also, if you have any additional information you could share with us that you might have learned over the last couple of weeks with respect to any updates. I ask for that because I have not heard anything from Virginia and I have not heard anything from DC. So and, it's yeah, Paul.
And Pat, if you can reiterate some of the talking points that we collectively came up with the AAC that we would like to use and how to go.
Right. Okay. Absolutely, Paul. So
help facilitate that, that'd be fine.
Sure. Thank you, Paul. So in moving forward, a couple of the talking points that we came up with, the first one, I think the most important one is we need to fully fund Metro. By fully funding Metro, that means that we are not going to hopefully receive cuts in the Metro access area. Anything that is cut as far as bus service, there'll be corresponding cuts in Metro access, including decreasing the service area, you know, could be significantly. We could lose up to 9,000 people out of the 36,000 that take Metro access, could be possibly cut. If you also have a bus that was running all day, but now only runs part of the time, let's say 9 to noon or 4 to 6, 4 to 7, that's when your Metro access will run. So there's going to be a lot of issues with respect to that. Possibly. That's why I'm asking Mr. Blake if he's got any additional new information. I did not hear anything when I attended a meeting last week.
And I know we also talked about maintaining that service area is one of the other fundamental things to stress.
Right. Yeah, that's why I mentioned what I did, Paul. Yes, because anytime you cut a bus service or you're going to be cutting rail service, you're going to be reducing the service area. So service area, maintaining that service area and the times is going to be important. That all can be done if we fully fund Metro. So this isn't just a Metro access piece. It really is contingent upon Metro. The other thing that was talked about is, you know, the raising of the rates on bus rail, 25%, brings it pretty much in line with what other major properties are doing. The effect on Metro access, it would raise that, could raise that maximum rate from $4 to $5. And that was just something that was proposed last Thursday. And I think another more important thing, Mr. Blake can talk to us more about the more technical money details, is they will be holding hearings in March. We don't have the dates yet for those hearings. In person would be great if people can make it in person. I think that makes a difference. You can testify at one of the hearings, either Virginia, DC, or Maryland, but it's important to show up. And what I think is most important to talk about is, how is this going to impact you as a disabled person, whether it's job or quality of life, medical appointments, or whatever? This could be a hard thing for us to get used to. It might be where we are going to be moving in the future, because this budget crisis is not going away. So I think where we are the experts are in our own situation, sort of in our own skin. What do we use Metro Access for? And how is that going to impact our lives if we don't have it? So you're the only one who can tell that story. My sense is that the board, they know all the numbers. They know all the technical details. It's important for us to have some of that, but we don't need to reiterate to the board what they already know. But what they don't know is how it's going to affect you. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. Mr. Blank, and do you have any more updates? I know there, I went over some of that really fast. Any more updates or anything else that I missed with respect to your little discussion we had about, I think it was a week or two ago?
Then after Mr. Right. Blake, we'll hear from Mr. Posner, Dr. Posner.
Right. So, yeah, so I'll be real quick. The only, I want to say, official change that has occurred since I presented to you the impact on Metro Access customers with a less than fully funded Metro has been the fare-related change, where at the time the discussion was a $4.25 fare. Well, now it's more official as to what the fare next year is likely to be, and that would be twice the base fare with a max fare of $5. So essentially the Metro Access fare is going to be $5 beginning in July, most likely. I mean, there's still things that need to occur, but if I had to bet money on something, no pun intended, yeah, that's probably going to be a certainty moving forward, because as Mr. Chairman said, fare adjustments are not unique to Metro in this time and space, if you will. These are occurring across the transit industry, and a fare increase on the fixed route side will correspond to a fare increase on paratransit. And it looks like the fare increase will be capped at $5.
The only other piece I would add is, and I think most people know this, WMATA is short $750 million. So that's what we need, the deficit that needs to be made up between now and March, April timeframe. Or we'll see corresponding cuts. And yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, I was just going to close and say everything else that I shared is still the possibilities. Those are all real possibilities with a less than fully funded Metro. So your voices need to be heard. And I think, as the chairman said, reiterating the numbers to in your public testimony is one thing, but I think telling your unique stories probably will be more effective if that's the approach you all choose to take. I think I agree with the chairman on that. And I will just say, working internally, some of the initial maps, we've looked at a lot of different things because our colleagues in Fixed Route are really working hard. And so some of the early maps have not been as worrisome as they initially were. I can't tell you what's going to be official. So we shouldn't speculate on the map and the exact impact until we see the official docket. But whatever the docket is, I think, again, your voices are important to be heard. But that's all I have to add at this point. Thank you.
Okay. And the only other thing that I would add to that is the AAC did request that as soon as we have some hard data on what the service area is, what the cuts in rail and bus are going to be, we ask that those people that will be affected will be notified. Because if it's a work thing, if it's a quality of life thing, if it's a medical thing, you need to know so that you can make some decisions down the line. And sometimes, you know, with these effects, the cuts, if they come through, will go through July 1, but you're going to need to know long before that so you can make other plans if you need to.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sheehan. Dr. Posner, I see your hand is up, so go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. I'm just trying to straighten out some confusion about this discussion. It was to be about talking points. There are two sets of talking points that we talk about, and I'd like to make sure which ones we're talking about. There are talking points for when individuals show up at the budget hearings for WMATA. And to add to what Patrick has said, go to as many as you can. The reason is each one of the hearings, the one for Virginia, the one for Maryland, and one for the district, will be chaired by different board members. So the more you can look a board member in the eye and tell them your story, the more powerful you will be. So if you can attend more than one with your talking point, feel free. Paul and Denise and Patrick are models. They have always attended more than one. And now that they are going to be available online, it's easier to do than having to take a Metro Access ride to the area. The other items for talking points that Tino has been reminding of you repeatedly, and that is talking points for contacting your local council members, your congressional representatives, and your state legislators to help Metro Access balance their budget. Don't confuse the two. So let me ask Paul and Patrick, which one are we doing tonight so we don't get confused? Because the local jurisdictions, the state, and the feds were asking to help provide funds for transportation, period. Because WMATA is going to be short $750 million. And if they don't survive, this is how it's going to affect the community. Please help. For those of you that are talking to the board, you need to tell them what Metro Access means to you and what reduction in the service area, increase in the fare, uncertainty in what's happening will mean to you. And then we'll see what the board does, because anything they do, like changing bus routes, changing times, et cetera, are going to happen later after the budget is set up, because then each area, construction, maintenance, repair, expansion, bus and rail routes will all be done based upon the amount of money they put in the budget for that particular area. So once again, you'll have a second bite of the apple after the budget is set and tell them, oh, that's not a good thing. So you're going to go in with generics and things that affect you and everyone you represent. Then don't take heart and move out of town. Know that no matter what happens after these hearings, there will be more opportunities to get things back that were lost. Okay, my 3 minutes are up. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Have fun.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Posner. I see Doris, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to, number one, we, for Virginians, who are interested in this issue. We still have places on the bus for next Wednesday. And what I wanted to say regarding Virginia is that as far as the state legislature is concerned, the action is right now. So we have a listing of the standing committees, including transportation and finance and appropriations for the Senate, and though in Virginia, and those are the people that we need to be targeting about the cap on the fund for maintenance and some operations that everybody is talking about in the news. And we are also in the process of getting from House Legislative Services the same standing committee list, and we'll be going after the Appropriations Committee and its Transportation Subcommittee and the Transportation Committee on the House side, at least for Northern Virginia. And I think that I would plan to argue also that if this happens, at least for state legislators, if this happens to WMATA, it could happen in Norfolk, it could happen in Richmond, it could happen in any of our localities where they have complementary paratransit and the transit budget is short. So that's what we'll be doing. And again, I welcome anybody, particularly Virginians who want to ride the bus with us, to be in contact with me. But we're going to have to make the impact is now. That's what I wanted to say. The impact is now, because by about the second week in February, the appropriations, both the actual appropriations and what's called budget language amendments, which affect policy. So that if anybody here at WMATA staff knows and can tell us if there are budget item and budget language item amendments, not just bills, there may also be a bill about the 3% cap. We need to know that from, you know, if it's from WMATA staff or whoever, maybe Mr. Pasek, who can indicate what they know about introduced legislation, then we can act faster. That's what I had to say. At least for now, the local stuff comes up next week. Next month, when all of our county executives will be issuing their draft draft budgets for presentation and discussion at their public hearings in March,
okay,
which are after you. Probably WMATA hearings.
Thank you, Doris. Patrick, were you trying to add something earlier? You're on mute.
I didn't know, Paul, I'm not quite sure how you want to proceed with this. I know we have quite a lot of people attending here tonight. I didn't know if we wanted to take questions. I don't know what the audience has as far as thoughts or questions concerning this. Or perhaps committee members, any other questions from committee members? I know, Doris, I know that on your side, it is fairly complicated in Virginia. You've got your legislature in Richmond, and then you also got the jurisdictions that are will be contributing money. And so the earliest that we will be able to figure out from Virginia what the pot of money will be what are you thinking, like end of February, mid-March?
Right, and the operations budget mainly comes out of the local government, and the real estate taxes, you know, so it's a, so it'll be late February and into March when all those and April when all those budget hearings are taking place for the
Right.
operating subsidy. But this the particular issue statewide is from a state perspective is this authorization for the fund for maintenance and operation.
Right.
So
And so
on a
you,
budget and being able to increase it.
right. And so what is important from your side is you actually have, it appears you have two funding streams. And the constraint, of course, that you're dealing with is the 3% constraint that you, that they have to adjust to a more equitable number, let's say. Now, I know that in Maryland, at least the latest that I've heard was that they voted for $150 million over and above what they usually give towards the budget deficit, which could bring it down to what, $600 million. But I have not heard anything from DC or from or another number from Virginia.
Okay. Mr. Sheehan, this is Anu.
Yes.
Just to move this discussion along, we do have Thomas. He has his hand up, and then I see Tina, you have your hand up. I do see that there are a couple of members of the public with their hands up. We will take your comments during the public comment section so that we can wrap this discussion in a timely manner. So,
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thomas,
Yeah, because we
go
do
ahead.
want to time to, you know, finish this up so we can take all public comments. I would like to present a motion just for y'all to consider after hearing from Ms. Rush and everyone else. You want me to do that at this time, anew? Because this will have to be brought up to the AAC next month.
Can we just wrap up with Thomas Mangrum and Tino?
Yes.
Okay, great. So Thomas, go ahead.
Yes. I just basically have one question, because like somebody brought up the hearings or what have you. It's my understanding that the hearings want to set up for Mimata. Yeah. So the hearings set up for some testimony from people about the hearings for the budget cuts now.
Yes, they, but the hearing dates have not been, we don't know what the hearing dates are going to be.
Okay.
So when we get those hearing dates, you certainly will know about it. And as I think it's important to be able to attend as many hearings as you can. Being in the audience is important, and there will be in person and telephone access to those hearings. So you can, anyone and everyone should be considering testifying in front of those hearings. And it's got to
Okay.
be on the docket.
All
So,
right, thank you.
Pat, can I put forward two motions based on concerns from members and Ms. Rush for us to consider that will be probably brought at next month's AAC because they're timely?
Absolutely, Paul. Yes.
So the first motion relates to, you know, we would like to work with an advice, Metro Access staff, if possible, to, you know, communicate via to customers via IVR, because I know Mr. Blake was going to explore if he's able to do this. We would like to have us that they announce when they need to come out for the public hearings to customers via the IVR or whatever it means, you know, feasible when that information comes out as they customarily have done in the past. That'll be the first one. And the second pertains to, you know, of course, Metro Access Management, you know, we at least one of our records can do this or not. We would like to request Metro Access Management notify customers as soon as it is feasible to those who might be affected by these changes, you know, as soon as feasibly possible, because this is time sensitive. for the fact that
Okay,
know,
so
public
Paul, you
hearings are
wanna,
coming, if these changes will be happening to them.
right? And yeah, I agree. So you have the first motion out there using the IVR system
To notify people of the hearings,
right?
As a request.
Okay. You need a second for that. I'll second that.
Discussion from committee members.
Can you repeat the motion?
So the motion is to request that Metro Access staff notify customers when the hearing dates come out, notify them via IVR, because that's probably the most accessible way where all the customers can call into the main number and hear, about the hearing, hit this, hit whatever prompts to hear about the when the hearings will be and where they're located. So that's the first motion that I'm putting in.
Okay.
Paul, you're referring to the hearings related to WMATA's budget, right? You're not referring to the hearings by the funding jurisdictions like the Maryland General Assembly and the Virginia. You're talking
this is to WMATA's budget.
Yeah, that's one thing, but that's.
Okay, but that's what's on the floor right now.
Yeah, as Phyllis said, though, keep in mind that there are two different things, and we need to do what this motion says. But prior to that, we also need to do what Doris is doing, going down to Virginia's Richmond to talk to the legislatures there, going to Annapolis, etc.
Yeah, but the first motion is to.
Yeah.
More importantly, notify customers that when the budget hearings are so that they can attend. But I think that's the higher priority right now when the information is out
so?
There.
I'm sorry.
What?
In terms of the process, that is not the higher priority.
But Tino?
Yes.
But that's the motion on the floor right now.
Okay. But I just want people to understand that there are two things that have to happen. And
right.
That. Happen well the motion on the floor, but don't just I think in the past people have been misunderstanding the process that there are two sources of funding that have to be addressed, and WMATA is not a source of funding. WMATA is going to tell us what they will be left with after Virginia, DC, and Maryland. But I second the motion. I approve the motion regarding finding out when WMATA is having its hearings. But please, again, do not confuse that with what has to happen in Virginia, Maryland, and the District of Columbia.
Thank you, Tina. Paul?
Yep, so we got that motion before the floor. We got a second. So Pat, what do we want to do with this call the question or this?
Are there any other hands up to discuss? We can call the question.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Doris.
Okay. Yeah. What is the possibility of, since we have this motion, to also add at least a request to consider in Virginia in Maryland, that there be perhaps two hearings rather than one, because and spread them in location, and part of asking this for out here certainly in Virginia is if we want to get people to a physical meeting, I think it's important to have one close in, which in recent times we've always had in Arlington. But people who are living in Loudoun,
right,
for them to be able to get to a hearing in Arlington is a significant burden. And so if we could, for example, arrange somewhere out on the Silver Line, say Reston Town Center or something, it would be more likely that people from that close-in border in Loudoun to be able to come. And that's what I'd like to suggest.
So I think that that could be a third motion, Doris, so that...
Okay, if you want to put it as a separate motion...
Right, we could put that as a separate... Okay.
I'd like to make it and have somebody second it.
Good. Let's go with these first two. And then, of course, if they did that, that, of course, would be part of what's get broadcasted on the IBR. So, Paul, you've got a motion on the floor with a second. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion?
Sandy, I see your hand is up. Do you comment?
Yes. Yeah, so what is IBR? And could you clarify whether the onus is on us to reach out to find out when these hearings are, or would we be automatically notified? I'm confused.
So the IBR is the interactive
voice response
system where everyone calls in, so it's accessible. Everyone calls in to that main metro access number, and they would hear a general message about the hearings and press this option to hear more detailed information in terms of the hearing times, dates, and locations. That is what I'm requesting. When all customers call in that main number or use TTY, they would get that first broad piece, and then they would press whatever option to get the other detailed information, like maybe press option 8, 9 to get the information as to where the hearings are located and times and dates. That's what I'm requesting to be posted, because that's probably the most accessible and feasible way for WMATA, as they have done in the past, to post that information for all Metro Access customers.
And then the second part of your question, Sandy, is that we will be notified where the hearings will be. It'll be posted far and wide. They do quite the outreach on that. So not our responsibility to do that. They did vote in their meeting last Thursday the board voted that they would have the responsibility to set up the meetings for the hearings.
Okay. Chair Semaphore, just to let you know, it is 5:27, so we have only a few minutes before we should be going into public comments. Okay. So you're continuing with the motions?
We have a motion. Yeah, that's on the floor, seconded. Are there any other comments? Any other hands?
I do not see any other hands up.
Okay. Now. Paul, do you want to call the question?
Yes, please.
This is Rico. I have a question.
Go ahead, Rico.
Can you make sure we motion that we have an ASAT interpreters at all of the public meetings? Never know who might be who. They could have two interpreters, a CDI and a hearing interpreter, because you never know who might be the deaf and blind person also.
This is Enrico. There would be ASL interpreters at the public hearings. Thank you.
All right, having asked that, can we call that first question?
It's been moved and seconded already.
Yeah, yep. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Any opposition or objections? I think the motion passes, Paul. Your second motion?
So the next motion on the floor that is to be put is notifying customers who will be affected by these possible Metro Access budget changes. We would like to try to hopefully get notification before the public hearings.
Okay.
Does that sound like a reasonable motion? By Metro Access
there. I think so, Paul.
Well, yes, make your motion and pass it. We're going to do our best to adhere to your motions. I don't see that as a problem. I can't promise I'm gonna we're gonna be perfect about it, but we'll certainly try. So yeah, make your motions and proceed, no doubt. Thank you.
Question. So my question is, do you usually advertise this in multiple languages, and in particular in Spanish?
Yes, yes. There's a whole outline and process that we've been using for years. Because remember, the budget hearings has been every year. So this is not new to this process. I think, again, for Metro Access customers, we're talking a lot more because, I hate to say it, I've been so nice to you guys. We kind of protected you from the budget hearings. But no, there's a whole process that's outlined, and our team of talented community and public outreach specialists have it down to a T. So there'll be plenty of advertising, plenty of notification, and yes, I would just
and
say
you've got a lot of different language. Yeah.
Yes,
and the docket as well. Yes. And the docket
right.
as well.
Everything
well,
is.
Well, you know,
yeah.
I think maybe adding something about ensuring, you know, equitable language access and outreach to the disability community yeah. at large, would be appropriate. At least I'm hoping it's a friendly amendment.
To this second motion right here. So this is to notify customers who the 9,000 will be affected before public hearings of the fact that this might affect their ability to ride the service. Because for Ms. Rush, she wants customers to be notified that they might be affected in terms of Metro Access service with these possible budget cuts. We want a notification as soon as feasibly possible. That's what we're asking. So, someone who wants to?
I seconded that already.
All right, any discussion? Because we do need to get the public comment. I know there's a lot of people. I want to start almost immediately so everyone is heard, especially members of the public.
Is she good enough here?
Here, no, this
will this.
Okay, so we will start the public comment in a few minutes, and then we can take your public comments. Thank you.
All right. So if I don't hear from anyone, can we put this question to a vote?
Call the question.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays.
Aye.
Abstentions. The motion carries with this next motion. Thank you so much. And Anu, I will let you start with public comment.
Wait a minute, hang on. Doris, you wanted to do quickly a third motion?
Right.
You wanted to have multiple hearings within Virginia?
Right.
Would
yes.
be to request the board to consider two hearings or maybe even for all three jurisdictions, but yeah, for all three jurisdictions because of to enhance the ability of people with disabilities to get to hearings, particularly in Maryland and Virginia, and to support involving people who are now included from Loudoun so that they can get to the hearings at a site that's fully accessible and well, you know where I'm going, but I don't want to take longer coming up with the language unless
okay.
somebody really wants
right.
me to, but you
so,
got the idea.
I think we got the idea. I will support this one because I want to get the public comments a peek. And I know there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
second
I like
on this
for
one.
All three jurisdictions, by the way, because then we can go on the east side and the west side, you know, in the district
oh,
as
yeah,
well,
yeah.
you know, like okay. having something in Ward 8 or Ward 7.
Silver Spring in Maryland. Yes.
So I is there a second for this?
Second for this, okay. Paul.
Oh, okay. Any discussion? Because remember, we're ticking the time clock, 25 minutes, and God knows how many people I need for public comment. All right, okay. Hearing, I'll call the question. All those in favor of this motion, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions, the motion carries for this third motion. All right, Anu, you're going to share your spiel, and then I'll let you control the order who is going for public comment. Okay. And starting with members of the public, please.
Thank you, Chair Simon Ford. So we are going into our public comment section. Just a reminder that every member of the public will have 3 minutes to speak. If you have any additional questions or comments, and if we have any additional time, we can come back to you. But please consider it and take 3 minutes at the most initially. And to begin with, we will go to Janice Samuel, followed by Regina Lee, and then we have somebody on the phone. Last four numbers are 9657. So Janice, when you start speaking, your 3 minutes will begin.
Thank you, Anu. My question is for Mr. Blake. As I understand it, you're saying at this point in time, your best estimation is that at a minimum, Metro Access fares will be increased to a cap of by 20 to 25%. At this point in time, do you estimate that the Uber fares will continue to be of no charge, or do you think that will go away?
Okay, so a great question. The abilities ride fares are separate and distinct from the situation involving a fully funded metro. That is a promotion. Eventually, there will be a charge for those trips that will occur. Will it occur on July 1st, 2024? Not likely. Very, very unlikely. Because we're still kind of growing the program. As I announced last time, there'll be other providers being added. So the program is still in its infancy, but as it matures, there will be a fee eventually for Abilities Ride trips. You can count on that for sure.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blake, and thank you, Janice, for your question. Next is Regina Lee. Regina, when you start speaking, your 3 minutes will begin.
Okay, thank you, Anu.
Sure.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions. I've been listening now for over a month at these subcommittee meetings, and I still haven't heard you all say that everybody that rides Metro is going to be contacted immediately about the budget. You all have not said that. And my second question is, do you plan to do that? I mean, do you plan to do that to bus and rail? You all have a bus and rail subcommittee, so when are you all going to let everybody that drives the bus, rides the bus, rides the train, and rides Metro Access know that there is an issue with the budget? And my second question is, have you all in your subcommittees thought of a way to assist Metro with their dedicated funding? You all are talking about going and say what how it's going to affect us, but are you also thinking about ways to assist them on have a dedicated funding source? Thank you.
Okay.
Can I respond to her question?
So the second, I think the second part of that question, there has been established in the jurisdictions what I would call it a rainy day fund to handle issues like this. I think this was set up back in 2018. So I think looking at something like that and asking some other questions with respect to, you know, where we are with funding and areas that the jurisdictions can look at with respect to how they're going to increase their funding, I think is important. That's why it was brought up with respect to the cap, the 3% cap that has to be lifted to maybe 4 or 5%. And you're looking at other areas, you know, perhaps using some of the capital funds to decrease the funding here, shortfall here of $750 million to something smaller. With respect to your first part of the question, that's part of what the docket is all about. And we don't have any more information right now as to what is going to be cut than what has already been presented on TV, on the radio, and we don't have specifics on that. Once we have specifics on that, WMATA will be heading out, we'll be giving that information out in the docket, and we'll have a better idea of what those cuts are going to be. But we've had discussions over the last couple months, and I think you've heard them, with respect to the what we're calling the doomsday budget, and that has been, you know, distributed out, but nothing firm has, you know, been designated with respect to that, and I think it's still a moving target. So as soon as we hear something, I think we will let people know.
I don't think you understood my question.
Yeah,
my question is that I need you all to let everybody that rides Metro know. I'm not talking about having a, you know, going to the public hearings. I'm talking about you all letting everybody know what
right.
the budget what, says. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and I've given you all an example. I've sent you all of the committee members, an example of what you should do and how to get it out. And you all at the bus and rail meeting, talked about, you know, getting on the radio with Kojo Anande, you know, going to the TV station. But I gave you all a specific suggestion on how to get it on every bus, every train, every Metro Access vehicle. I'm talking about letting the people know. You're talking about people coming to a hearing, but what are they coming to a hearing for if they don't know what's coming down the pipe? I know you don't know what's going to happen, but I'm saying you're not even letting anybody know what the budget is proposed. This is what I'm talking about.
Can I, Bridget? You know, she made a point very well at the bus rail subcommittee. She talked about letting everybody know, and even specifically maybe going to Kojo Anande to get him to broadcast something about it. The question is, I don't know. We don't have the tools to.
I gave you a suggestion. I sent you all a flyer that needs to be put on every bus, train, and Metro Access vehicle. I gave you a suggestion. I haven't heard a response back from anybody regarding my suggestion. I even have a suggestion for dedicated funding. So that's just not. You can't say that, Tino. That's not true.
No, Regina. I understood your point when you said it verbally at the bus rail subcommittee, but I also responded earlier than that.
Right, and you said you didn't understand how to open up the email that I sent.
I couldn't open it up, but now
and I resent it.
I wish we had a way of doing op-eds in especially the big newspapers in Richmond. It'd be great if it were legal, for example, for WMATA to put posters in the Metro rail cars, in the buses. I don't know if that's legal for them to do. But, you know, I really am at a loss, except that you suggested Kojo Anande. We should do that.
I didn't suggest that. That wasn't my suggestion. That was somebody else's.
Well, that is one good source. If we could get on this program, you would agree, I think.
But everybody doesn't listen to him. You all need to do it, put it in people's faces. The flyer I suggested, Mr. Blake has a copy of it, Anu has a copy of it, and Mr. Semaphore has a copy of it, and Mr. Sheehan has a copy. So you all need to talk about this, because you all keep saying what you all want the Metro Access people to do, but you're not solving the problem or helping to solve the problem or letting anybody know there is a problem. but the Metro Access riders.
Okay. I think we understand your point. I just wish we knew how to do it. And you say that you gave us a flyer. I don't know how to respond to getting it to the media or even on Metro rail cars or Metro buses, the problem that we face, we might have faced, we all face.
So perhaps what we're looking at here is a communication plan. And I know we'll be discussing more of this in at our next AAC meeting. I know, could we have a communication plan as to what is going to be done as far as official communication coming up from WMATA? Because we're not the only ones doing this. You also have the Riders Advisory Committee, and they're doing this. And there's been a lot of education out to the different disability groups, which is ongoing. So there is a lot of stuff going on, but I think, you know, I think that it's good to get the word out there with respect to what is the entire, sure. Which is what the communication plan is going to look like and how the word's going to get out there.
Okay. I've made a note of that, Mr. Sheehan, and we can look
at it.
Thank you.
Good.
So we do have another member of the public on phone, and the last four numbers are 9657. Go ahead, unmute yourself. And when you start speaking, I will turn the timer for 3 minutes.
This is Keegan Anaka. Want to say this. Two things. About the, not only about the hearings, but the other thing, the other two, other two things. Can they be heard by the IVR system, like not just the hearings? The hearings can be also heard by the IVR, but also the other two programs by the
IVR. The other two resolutions. Is that what you're saying? The other two resolutions?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. All of those. Well, one of the resolutions to increase the hearings would be sent over to the board. The board will make the decision on how many hearings and the locations that we will have them, and they will be sent out. The IVR is one of the communication platforms that will be used. But as Mr. Blake said, WMATA has been doing this for many years. And they do an awful lot of work with respect to getting it out into newspapers, at churches, on the buses, on the rail. There are posters there. So I think, but it's important, you know, as Regina said, for people to understand what the total communication plan is going to be for WMATA to get the information out. And then, of course, the docket is going to have, you know, the areas that we won't be discussing with specific proposals as far as moving forward with bus and rail changes, what bus lines will be sent out. And then of course, people who will be affected they will know what the impact is going to be on the particular bus line, rail line, and metro access lines.
Okay. Go ahead, sir. Chica, go ahead.
Yes. And the other, this will include social media, Channel 4, Channel 5, and all the local TV,
yes,
and radio stations as well.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And my next thing is there has to be like alternate like transportation services besides the because because of these things go in effect, there's no way I'm going to get around, or if there's a way I have to get around, I have to rely on people to take me places, and don't want these things to go into effect because it's going to affect the places I go to, and
And
it's
I think,
going to,
right. And I think one of the issues that we spoke about as far as talking points moving forward is that particularly individuals who will take Metro Access don't have any other alternatives other than to take Metro Access. It's not like we can jump into a car and get a ride, take a car here and there and the other. So this is a population which is transit dependent and disadvantaged. And I think that is part of the story that needs to be told to the board of, WMATA board at the hearings, because they're the ones that are going to take the money that we'll be getting from the jurisdictions, and they will be deciding where that money's going to go and what the impact's going to be. So telling your story is important because you don't have a plan B for getting around. This is it. And so if they cut the service, there'll be people impacted, and that's what we're trying to get the get that story out. So the communication plan will be talked about at the first Monday meeting in February between 5:30 and 7:30, and that'll we'll be able to get a full-blown plan as to what's going to be done, when, and what time, and at what point we'll be able to have something really to talk about moving forward.
Okay,
Okay.
Will they be available on Zoom, or how will I get the
So
email,
yeah, they will.
or will I get the robocall, or
There'll
will
be
it be?
various. Right. There'll be various methods for getting it. As we said, we're going to put it on the IBR with respect to Metro Access, so you'll be able to get it there. In the past, they've had messages on the web, of course, and they've distributed out flyers that give you the locations of the hearings. So there usually is a pretty large communication plan. They also have surveys in which individuals fill out surveys and send them in. That has been popular in the past. They've also done pop-ups where they are handing out information at the rail stations and all to let people know when the hearing is going to be. So it's really a lot of different aspects going on here with respect to, the hearings and what's going on, and letting people know what is going to be happening and the proposed cuts going forward.
Thank you, Chico, and thank you, Mr. Sheehan. We have 8 minutes, 7 minutes remaining. Tina, I see your hand is up, and so is Doris. So go ahead and take 2 minutes each. Go ahead, Tina.
There was some static. Did you mention that I could now speak?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Maybe before the AAC meeting or any meeting next month, since the funding problem is with people in Richmond, Annapolis, and the DC City Council, we really have to listen to what Regina has to say. We need to tell the people who are most affected, and they are the ones who are actually riding the Metro Rail cars, riding Metro buses, and in fact, riding the local buses from the other jurisdictions. Can we find out whether WMATA is able to put on their posters, either on the electronic boards they have in the metro stations, or on the posters they carry, advertising different things in Metro Rail or on Metro buses? Can we find out if WMATA can talk about the can describe what the problem is on such things, and maybe by that way, people who actually ride and will be affected will know more than we can tell them through our meetings or through even WMATA's hearings, even if they're in two different places. Is there some way of putting it on the electronic boards in the stations, the posters on buses, etc.?
Right. So basically what you're asking, Tino, then, is you would like to see if they can distribute before our next AAC meeting what the communication plan is for getting the information out to bus, rail, and metro access people going forward.
Yes.
Prior to our meeting. Okay. I think that's reasonable.
If they can do it and have flyers and all the other things done even before our meetings, that would be great.
Yes. But in order to do, that'd be great if they can do it. But the question is, I don't know that those decisions have been made. So two things here. One is the communication plan is one thing. The information going into that communication plan, if it's not known, you can't distribute it.
Well, they can distribute what they know about the problem. That there's $750 million shortfall. And if nothing is done about that shortfall, then all the catastrophes we've been talking about will happen. But a lot of people don't know about the shortfall. A lot of people don't read newspapers. They do see flyers in the station. They do see posters on the station platforms. They do sometimes see the posters that are...
Tino, your time is up. Thank you. Doris, do you need to make any additional comments?
Yeah, because it's 5:56 p.m.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. So I would like to also propose that we encourage requests that the communications plan give longer notice for people to be able to get the word out. So right now, to my knowledge, it's only 15 days, and WMATA have adhered to that, but that's a real minimum, and this is doomsday budget. This is wreaking havoc over bus and rail service as well as metro access service. And therefore, I think that we should at least have a month or, 30 days or whatever to be able to organize, get people to hearings, get the word out, and if there are going to be surveys, respond to them. I think it's very important that there be an extension of that notice period so people can organize and get to these hearings.
Okay, thank you, Doris. Chair Samford, did you need to make any comments before I my public announcement?
No, the last 2 minutes will be to you, Anu, and then we are going to do a motion for adjournment.
Okay, thank you. So I just want to share with any members of the public, if you would like to make public comments before or after the meeting, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's spelled out metroaacchair@wmata.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you. That concludes my announcement.
All right. Having said that, we're going to make a motion for adjournment.
Audio now muted.
Motion for adjournment, Farmer.
Keep my audio. But Laura Havard left.
All those in favor,
alert. Get 3 and left.
Lowest
Nicole Ridgeway.
Pesci left. Phillips left. Robert Worth left. Start my video. Button. Deborah, mute my audio. Button. Doris Gray left.
All right. Okay. A second. All right. Hearing none, we're going to adjourn this meeting.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone.
This meeting is being recorded. Sherry Collins left. Mute my audio. Marcy Goldstein left.
Oh, Mr. Blake, I sent you a private message combo.